I'm very, very eager to get into this conversation with Melusi Shabalala and Tyron Edgar. Melusi, you might know, well, you have has been introduced to you through my shows, either this one or Upfront, as the founder of Everyday Zulu, but he also happens to be a really great author of a book called Magenge, We Need to Talk. It is a candid account, almost autobiographical, giving some perspective on becoming a man, what that means in South Africa, the challenges that one faces. And honestly, as I mentioned earlier, the ravages of the patriarchy on men. Tyron Edgar happens to be a clinical psychologist at CBTRSA.com who has vast experience in talking about things like burnout, compassion, satisfaction, and compassion fatigue. He's a cognitive behavioral therapist who has been working with these emotional distresses and disorders, particularly amongst men, for a long time. Our conversation is prompted by the frightening statistics last week showing that South African men in particular are second only to Russian men out of a study of limited countries in terms of suicide rates. Melusi, thank you so much for joining us this morning. How are you today?
I'm well, Rafilio. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And Tyron, thank you so much for joining us as well.
Thank you, Rafia.
For sure. I think, let me start with the data, Tyron. Let's talk about from a scientific perspective. Is the update that we got last week showing some 39 out of 100,000 South African men choosing to take their lives, or maybe not choosing, or feeling forced to take their own lives, does that match up with the studies that you've looked at?
Well, it's interesting that statement, because I think that a lot of the time suicide is often linked to things like depression or anxiety. But actually, the research points out the fact that it's mostly related to sense of hopelessness. And I think that that is definitely something that we've seen an increase on or a rise on. And obviously, the last 2 years of COVID, there's a strong sense of hopelessness. And that does then tend to make sense that a lot of people currently are experiencing tremendous amounts of hopelessness, so the suicide rates should increase.
So, Tyron, sorry, just to be clear once again, that data that was released last week by WHO, rather, was 2019-based. One can only imagine it's intensified since then. But
yes.
But there were two things that were stark. Out of this sort of chart showing some 15 countries, South Africa second only to Russia, and then looking at the two genders, we've got 39 per 100,000 from men and 15 per 100,000 for women. So those are the two, I suppose, outlier moments that I'm curious to explore.
Yeah, certainly. I think men definitely do manifest, depression and suicide as differently to women. And in particular, the men tend to show it in a lot more aggressive, intense way. So they're more likely to actually follow through with suicide attempts compared to women, unfortunately. And so as a result of that, it does tend to skew some of the statistics.
Let's talk about this experientially. Melusi, your book, Magenge, We Need to Talk, was born out of personal experience, but also a deep love that you're very outspoken about for men in particular. So in other words, you speak from a point of true knowledge, right, in terms of what they're going through. How do you feel about these stats, and do they resonate with you?
Yeah, I think, yes, they definitely do. And from what I've observed and experienced, is that a lot of it comes from the pressures of what we define manhood as, right? And, you know, we as men put a lot of pressure on ourselves to not just be human beings, but to be men. And, you know, my view is always, let's start with just being human beings and realize that the things that are happening to us and around us are happening to women as well. But women, you know, can take them better, because they don't pressure themselves to be the best at things that are ridiculous, you know, to be number one at things that are ridiculous. And they're able to say, I am struggling here. I am failing here. But we have taken struggles and perceived failures and associated them with shame, which then leads to hopelessness. And we are too embarrassed and too ashamed to face up to what we're going through and would rather take extreme measures.
What's at the heart of that shame? You know, so you mentioned that women are better able to express. And I think that to link what you're saying, Tyron, about hopelessness, I heard you say hopelessness as well, Melusi.
Yeah.
What do we do about spaces to Okay, Melusi Magengi, we need to talk. What is it providing in terms of a space to open up about that hopelessness? Let me start.
I think it's about, you know, in that book, I speak a lot about my own failures and my own shortcomings. And what I've found is that men who read that book reach out to me and say, man, to see a man coming out and saying, I'm not great at X, Y, and Z. I've failed at X, Y, and Z. Yet life goes on. For me, I think that's what's important, to stop just talking about, you know, men are these, and I speak about this expression, being the man, right? You know, the pursuit of being the man is so dangerous because it denies you the opportunity to just be a human being with failings and shortcomings. And then you look at the context of South Africa with our economy and just how our economy is structured, and you have men who cannot live up to being the man. So what else are they left with? And that is where the hopelessness comes in.
Tyron, after the traffic, I want to hear from you how we create those spaces in your clinical psychology work. All right, it's 8:19. We continue the conversation. Melusi Tshabalala, author of Magenge We Need to Talk and also founder of Everyday Zulu, joins us to discuss the necessity for men to have space, Magenge being the isiZulu word for my gents, my guys, my brothers. And Tyron Edgar, clinical psychologist at CBTRSA, giving us a bit of insight on the clinical side of things. Tyron, when we went to the break, Melusi had framed almost visceral kind of expression around the man.
Yes.
An expectation around being the man, which I think begins very early in life, sometimes at infancy. And I'm curious to know, in your work as a clinical psychologist, would you agree, and what are the spaces that you create to unwind that?
Well, I certainly agree with Melusi. I think it's an excellent point. You know, the things that trigger depression in men are actually not all that unusual, that the two things that trigger depression in others. It's just that men tend to respond to the kind of feelings and emotions that these things cause in a very negative, toxic way. You know, a lot of thoughts like, I shouldn't be feeling this, other men don't feel this way, or even thoughts like, I should be feeling more motivated, I should be feeling more angry about this. So that is a narrative that we grow up with as men, particularly men in South Africa, this idea that we need to be tough, we can't show any weakness, and any feeling is often perceived as weakness. So I suppose, to answer your other question, in order to address that in a therapeutic space, we start with simple psychoeducation about the function and the nature of emotions, why we even have emotions. A lot of people don't even know how to answer that question. Why do we have feelings like sadness? What is their point? What are they there for? And as we start to unpack that discussion, it becomes more normalized. And then as a result, men understand feelings better and then it's easier to deal with.
Okay, we're touching a lot on men versus women. I then want to talk about South Africa versus the world. So there were two extremities on that chart. The one is men seem to be more than three times likely to pursue a suicidal end than women. The other is South African men are the second most likely in the world after only Russia. And I want to know, what are the idiosyncrasies about South Africa that may add the strain to what the both of you have, I suppose, placed here? I want to start with you, Melusi.
Look, I mean, you know, what I will speak about is the men that I understand best, which are black men from the township. And what I've seen and observed is that a lot of it is economic, right? You know, the concept of manhood is global. And the standards and the milestones that you are given for being a man are basically universal, but you can't achieve them. They are not achievable within our economy. And then you've got, which needs to happen, what I'm going to mention, the empowerment of women, right? So now you've got these women who are empowered and they're standing up for, as they should, for their rights. They're achieving, and these men don't know what to do. So their sense of manhood is very confused right now, because when you're sitting with other men, yes, you need to be a man, but you can't achieve any of that within the context. I think globally, but within our context, you know, black women in South Africa in particular are strong, they're vocal, and the men don't know what to do about that. So people are feeling lost. You know, you hear people saying, black men starting to speak about the good old days as if apartheid was the good old days. And the only reason we speak of the good old days is because at least women were not questioning us as much as they're questioning us now. So there's also that dynamic at play.
Okay, so on the totem pole in general, my understanding is it goes white men, white women, black men, black women. In the, if I can just summarize, but and you're saying we've lost our place in the totem pole.
Yes, and I think that's what black men are fearing and are feeling, and that's why they're feeling at sea.
So if that, so this seems to manifest then in not only self-injury, but also gender-based injury.
I think that the, both those things are related to, okay, since I can't assert my manhood economically, then I will go to the most base thing, which is the violence.
Tyron, any comment here from a psychological perspective?
Look, I think one of the points that Melissa makes, which is very relevant, is unrealistic expectations. And I think that I can certainly speak to that, that you know, men do tend to feel tremendous pressure to be the providers for the family or to be those that have the answers. And we find that men typically really push themselves extremely hard, not that women do not, but just men tend to do it in such a way that is very compartmentalized to the point where they completely push away their emotions and throw themselves into their work, for instance, to try and, you know, accommodate for whatever is lacking. And as a result of that, the harder they push themselves, the more they tend to manifest not only depressive features and aggression and irritability, but also burnout and fatigue on top of that. And as a, and then, you know, they come home and often take it out on the family or take it out on the women in their lives or the people in their lives. And so, you know, I do think that what Melusi is saying is relevant.
I want to talk about, can we go back to expectation? Because this is important for me. If you're just joining us, that was the voice just now of Tyron Edgar, clinical psychologist at cbtrsa.com. And before that, we were hearing from, he's joined by Melusi Chabalala, author of Magenge, We Need to Talk, an exploration of what brothers in South Africa, and in particular black brothers, need to talk about in terms of, I guess, the socialization of men. Within the South African context, we're talking about this because last week, jarring data around South African suicides being the second highest in the world, from a recent study, and in particular, a huge departure between men and women's suicide, with men being over three times as many, at 39 people per 100,000. Let's talk about expectation, because I think the outcomes kind of differ, gentlemen, or sorry, the outcomes are kind of similar. So, Melusi, you referred to the good old days, and I think one thing that women have found, because I don't want to center women in this conversation, we know now that for whatever reason, women have actually found themselves taking up the position of provider, taking up the position of leader, taking up the position of being number one. And so maybe circumstantial, that's the situation. But let's go back to the root and the expectations and why. Why experiencing the same difficulties in life, the expectation for men is harder or more stringent or more difficult to attain or has found itself to be unattainable? What is the difference in expectation societally here, Tyron? Because I think the average single mom will tell you that my expectations are actually higher than the average man.
I agree, and I think that this is the you make a good point, is that the actual core mechanism, I suppose, underneath something like depression is not necessarily that expectations are different, but as much that, you know, expectations trigger strong feelings, strong emotions, trigger things like anxiety, sadness, irritability. And again, men typically respond very poorly to that kind of information. We jump to conclusions about what those feelings mean about us. And as a result of that, we try very hard to push those feelings away. And the harder we try, often that backfires, more likely to fail, then the hopelessness kicks in, and that can lead to suicidality. So I think you're right. Expectations obviously play a role. But at the same time, it's more about what do those expectations generate in a person and how does a person handle those expectations? And men typically handle that more poorly than others.
How early do you think this started, Melusi, in a man's life, the expectation?
I think, you know, in Dr. Malusi Langa's book, he speaks about the forces that shape young men from as early as preteen years, right? Mm. And so by the time you're in your 20s, you've been told that a man is this, a man is that, and a man does this. And you've also been told that if a man fails, a man acts this way. You know, so if you fail at this thing, you lash out. And I think that's what then, you know, we grew up with. So it starts at a very early age. Even this thing of when boys, little boys are fighting, they say, let them fight it out. You know, that's what boys do. So those are the things that shape us, the forces around us when we are children. So it's not just about men, but it's also about boys.
How much of this has got to do with accountability? So, Melusi, your expertise is in the black home, and of course that's 80% of our population, so it's an important one to focus on as a black man being raised. I would venture to say, and I'll let you guys correct me if I'm wrong, that in the main, women in the last kind of few decades have been raised for an empowered space, and nobody raised the boys to come along on that road. Meaning, once we all grew up, it feels as though men have been surprised that you're not like my mom. And I've got a listener comment here saying, have to disagree with the guest. Women also set high standards for themselves, but they often put others before themselves. So even if they're feeling hopeless, they will continue to try to push through for the sake of their loved ones. And that's that, what that listener is describing is a sense of accountability. To what extent has that not been a part of the expectation?
You know, I think it's the first thing that I speak about in my book, to say, you know, it's easy as a man to say X, Y, and Z, society this, society that. What about you? Right? It is up to you to look at yourself and say, what role am I going to play in changing the story around men? And I think accountability is the conversation that is not happening in conversations between men. You know, it's very right. easy to point fingers. So I agree with you that accountability is the key thing here.
Tyron, I'll leave the last word with you.
Yes, I mean, I think the important thing here is not to sort of compare men with women in the sense of how they deal with expectation. I think the point is that men in particular have, for whatever reason, a lot of stigma and have been stunted with their ways in which they respond to the things that trigger depression. That we do have difficulty processing emotions and dealing with emotions for a variety of reasons. And I do think it does come back to, you know, childhood development and so forth. But oftentimes the reason why something develops in the first place is not the reason why it's maintained long term. So you can start off with, you know, a lot of difficulty and something triggering a depression, like a financial stressor. But maybe the reason why your depression maintains is because you're constantly thinking, I'm just not cut out. I'm just not man enough. I'm just not strong enough. So I think the emphasis, particularly from a therapeutic perspective, is often on what is maintaining this thing rather than just what is causing it.
Thank you both, gentlemen. This has been very enlightening. Tyron Edgar, that was the voice you heard last, a clinical psychologist at cbtrsa.com. Melusi Chabalala, Magenge, we need to talk, author and founder of Everyday Zulu. Thank you so much for your personal insights as well. Much appreciated, gentlemen. That was our Wednesday panel today.